Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:32. That is Pacific Standard Time, and today is December 6th. And when we look at markets today, it was a generally quiet day on Wall Street. There were fireworks in Italy. The precious metals were a little bit weaker. Oil prices were down about a dollar. We can see right here that the sugar price was up rather firmly, so perhaps we should take a look at that. It does look like there was a key day reversal, an upside key day reversal in here today, and that is happening from the region of the psychological $500 area and the region of the 200-day moving average. So there is at least somebody looking at value in that particular area. Among the precious metals, palladium was down most. It was down about $8. Now, obviously, it has been storming ahead, and it has been performing much more like an industrial metal overall, and it is a bit overbought in the short term, so there is the risk of some consolidation. And I think that that is equally true of some of the other industrial metals. Gold, on the other hand, has yet to demonstrate that the $1,150 area represents anything other than temporary support. It does need to break this progression of lower rally highs to demonstrate that demand is returning to dominance in here. Now, oil prices were down $1.25 on Brent crude, and equally, there is a short-term overbought condition here. It is right at the upper side of its range, that I think it would be a stretch to say that it has conclusively broken out yet, but it does have room in which to consolidate, and there is a mild upward bias within that ranging phase overall. Now, the real fireworks today were in Italy, where the vast majority of the banks were up rather in a clear dynamic fashion. There are a substantial number of banks, and that has helped to move the index. When we look at, for example, the Euro stocks, the broad index, then the leading movers today are pretty much all banks. UniCredit up over 12%, Mediobanca up just under 10%, and a significant number up in excess of 7 or 8% in here today. And not just Italian banks. But also Spanish and even German banks. That Deutsche Bank has been under a cloud, and it is only one of two German banks that are even still listed. But that is a clear upward dynamic, and that we are now seeing it breaking that downtrend that has been in evidence for a year. So there is certainly some bullish news coming through, and at least part of the reason for that is because of the ECB meeting tomorrow. And when we look at government bonds, and this is the German Bund, then what we see is that rates are still incredibly low, and yes, they are moving higher, and certainly what we're definitely seeing is some sort of spread trading here, where the Bund is moving higher, but even Italian BTBs are contracting. Now, there isn't much of a reason for why they should be contracting, other than the fact that the ECB is buying them. Now, anyone with even a modicum of chart reading experience can identify that 1% has offered support on two separate occasions, and we've had two very important rallies occurring from that level. But broadly speaking, that there has been a marked loss of momentum in the contraction in yields overall, and that the Italian government bond now trades at a tighter yield than US Treasuries. Now, one might say that that is perhaps because there is such an enormous fiscal stimulus being planned in the USA, but nonetheless, it does sort of cry out as a bit of an idiosyncrasy within this particular market that you can pick up almost 50 basis points in carry between BTPs and treasuries. It would suggest that the 2.5% level is at least an area of short-term resistance for US government yields, and that we might get at least some consolidation after what had been a really quite aggressive sell-off overall. Now, there is, I think this is perhaps the most interesting chart of the day. It is the ratio of the S&P 500 banks to the S&P 500. That this is a base formation that has been underway for 7 years, and it is now moving to relative new highs for the first time since 2010. And that really does help to put in perspective that there is some really important things happening in the banking sector, but it isn't just the US or the Euro banking sector, it is banking sectors everywhere. That economic growth is beginning to pick back up, and there is a tide of populist parties seeking fiscal stimulus, which is good for business, but also could help to create a tide of deregulation overall. Higher interest rates, more business, and against that background, the banking sector is comparatively cheap. So, if we're looking for a sector that could do really quite well next year, then banks have got to be pretty high on that agenda, and not least because they're relatively cheap. And following a big move on the upside over the last 7 years, then there isn't a great deal that could be considered cheap. Of course, one area that is cheap is the commodity sector, and we continue to see that there is a fairly substantial rally going on in the mining sector overall. So, that is there, and certainly there is a short-term overbought condition. There is the potential for a reversion back towards the mean. But even if we're looking at things that are clearly coming off of very depressed levels, it's also worth keeping an eye on shares like Amazon, which had been crying out for a reversion remove 7 or 8 weeks ago and has had it, and that it is now stabilizing in the region of the 200-day moving average. That you're also seeing a pretty similar story with Google, or as it's more recently called, Alphabet, that it has stabilized in the region of the 200-day moving average, that Facebook has done pretty similar. Microsoft is still somewhat overextended relative to the trend mean, but you're not overly so, and that every time it has done this previously, that it has engaged in these, it is still trending in a step sequence uptrend, and you can see that there is a 40 to 50 and 50 to 55-ish, and now perhaps 55 to 60. So, there isn't anything that would have really rocked the confidence of investors in these particular shares. So we're still in an environment where the stock market is relatively steady, but we have had a very substantial rotation within it overall. I don't think we talk a great deal about the defense sector, and part of the reason for that is because obviously, if there is going to be a lot more defense spending, then it should continue to do well, but it has been doing well for a substantial period of time already. And companies like Raytheon, and pretty much all of the rest of the sector are looking a little bit overextended in the very short term. When we take a broader step back, and we look at the just the broad market, then we are definitely seeing a period of time where there is, I think, increasing political strife, and the Indian index has actually been very steady overall, considering the economic turmoil that has been incurred as a result of the demonetization. The fact that the rupee is actually strengthening and unwinding what was a short-term oversold condition and has bounced from the region of its historic lows, is rather bullish overall. It would suggest that investors are beginning to look beyond the short-term economic turmoil resulting from the demonetization because of what it was has in fact signified. Obviously, it is a war on cash, but I think it is perhaps much more important to delineate what kind of cash, because a lot of the notes that have been taken out of circulation were counterfeit. A lot of it was used to fund terrorist projects, and certainly that idea is beginning to gain ground. In talking to a number of Indian people just this weekend, there is increasing talk about the fact that a lot of terrorist activities are funded by diamonds. And of course, India has got the largest diamond cutting industry in the world. So I think there's been a lot of people commenting on what the ramifications might be of an additional move by the government to attack the gold market, and I suspect that it is much more likely that if they're going to do anything, that they may attempt to rationalize the diamond market, and that could have quite significant knock-on effects and what quite beyond the Indian market for a number of jewelers, because the entire global jewelry market depends on the processing of rough stones in India. When we look at China, then, and I think there is a lot of worry right now about what the relationship between the U.S. and China is likely to be. Certainly, the A-share index has pulled back over the last couple of days, but it was a bit overbought. It was due a pullback. It is getting that pullback, and this pullback so far has been comparatively shallow relative to what we've seen over the last year. That when we look at it over the over on a weekly basis, that there is every likelihood that it will pull back towards the region of the moving average and perhaps then find support. And the I think the Hang Seng is also worth keeping an eye on, since it is in fact right at the region of the moving average, and that this is an area where, if support is to be found, then it is pretty much right where that needs to happen. I think the other market that is rather interesting is Brazil, because it has broken a medium-term downtrend in terms of that nominal price action overall, and the obviously that is in local currency terms, so it doesn't give us a very full picture of just how weak the real was, and that we've had a fairly substantial rally already this year, but that the price is right back now in the region of the 200-day moving average, and that the Brazilian real, having staged a fairly substantial rally this year, is now at a sort of a do or die moment overall. We have had some dollar strength. It has unwound its overbought condition, and now, as it is right in the region of the moving average, are we going to see the real reasserting on the upside? Is this 350 area going to represent an area of resistance beyond the short term for the dollar? If the real can stabilize and to hold on to the majority of its gains, then there is the potential for that market to continue to advance. And I still think that we are moving into a rather interesting period overall, because and I think this is something that we absolutely cannot ignore. And it is very simple that 5 years ago we didn't have much to worry about. We really only looked at the price action and we looked at monetary policy. Now we're looking at price action, monetary policy, and then we're looking at the political environment, the interest rate environment. Then we're looking at global trade, we're looking at taxation, we're looking at the banking sector, and every one of those things is an additional risk. It's an additional factor that we have to consider. There is an additional risk premium. Therefore, we can anticipate that there is going to be additional bouts of volatility, that we are going to see that people are going to just because there are so many additional risk factors that need to be assessed, that there is certainly the potential that people are going to be caught wrong-footed. And I think that is going to contribute to volatile environments overall. It's going to be, that different asset classes are going to be susceptible to volatility. Individual stock volatility could be quite high, and yet the stock market has been very inert. And it kind of belies the fact that we have had this volatility. That you look at the Eurostoxx index, and it hasn't gone anywhere just about all year, and it does now appear to be just on the cusp of breaking upwards. The Nikkei has broken out and is consolidating, has at least paused. The yen, having been really quite weak, has at least paused in the region of 115, but there is really nothing on those charts to suggest that these aren't going to move higher over the medium term, although the short term, there is a risk that we get a little bit of consolidation overall. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.